From Pacifica Radio, this is Democracy Now!, broadcasting live from the Independent Media Center in Philadelphia, where the Republican National Convention is taking place just miles away. Today on the program, Ralph Nader bursts some Republican bubbles at the convention by holding an impromptu press briefing on the convention floor. We'll look at the struggle of mushroom workers and the largest mushroom producer in the United States, Pennsylvania. And as the GOP convention comes to a close, we go to organizers of a national youth convention here in Philadelphia. All that and more coming up on Pacifica Radio. Democracy Now! Welcome to Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman here with Juan Gonzalez.
And in the news, making a mid-convention pivot from unity to campaign warfare, Republicans ramped up their anti-Clinton rhetoric last night at the party's nominating convention, where they officially nominated George W. Bush for president. Vice presidential candidate Dick Cheney closed out the evening at the First Union Center with a speech that was rousingly received by the 2,000 delegates. Among the attacks that Cheney launched on the Clinton-Gore administration, he said, for 8 years, Clinton and Gore have extended our military commitments while depleting our military power. Rarely has so much been demanded of our armed forces and so little given to them in return. That's a continuation of the Republican theme to spend more money on the military while the U.S. remains an unchallenged superpower in the world.
And Al Gore has narrowed his search for a running mate to 5 members of Congress and a female governor. This, according to the Associated Press. A Democratic source familiar with the vice president's thinking told Associated Press last night the closely guarded list consists of Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana, Senator John Edwards of North Carolina, House Minority Leader Richard Gephardt of Missouri, Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, and Governor Jeanne Shaheen of New Hampshire. In Gephardt's case, his home state of Missouri is a key battleground, and his ties to labor would help Gore improve his standing with liberals. He also would help the vice president make his case on Social Security, prescription drugs, and other Democratic issues. But Gephardt has reportedly told Gore publicly and privately he does not want the job. Gore left open the remote possibility he could choose another candidate who has not been publicly disclosed.
The W.R. Grace & Company and a former subsidiary agreed yesterday to pay $15.5 million to settle charges that they overcharged schools, libraries, and the federal government for books over more than a decade, the Justice Department said. A lawsuit brought by 2 whistleblowers and later taken over by the federal government in 18 states accused Grace and a national book distributor, Baker & Taylor, which was a division of Grace until 1993, with defrauding the government. The suit said the company overcharged schools and libraries that bought books with federal grant money.
President Clinton postponed the first federal execution in 37 years so the condemned man can apply for presidential clemency under brand new guidelines. In a 2-page order, Clinton issued a temporary reprieve for Juan Raul Garza, who was sentenced to die for drug smuggling and murder, postponing his scheduled execution from August 5th until December 12th. Under the guidelines, a death row prisoner will receive at least 120 days' notice of the date of execution. Once notified, the prisoner has 30 days to fill a request for clemency. All papers in support of the request must be filed no later than 15 days after the petition has been submitted.
And this news from Minneapolis. Last spring, almost 8,000 Minnesota high school students, including 336 seniors scheduled to graduate, were told they had failed the math portion of the state's basic skills test, when in fact what failed was the company that grades the test. A human error by 2 employees of National Computer Systems who cut the wrong answers into some keys used to score the test led to a mix-up that has angered teachers and led to a hearing by state lawmakers and caused one of Minnesota's senators to decry high-stakes educational testing and likely kept some deserving students from receiving high school diplomas.
This international news, 4 people, including a 12-year-old boy, were killed in 2 attacks in Kosovo yesterday. This according to a spokeswoman for the K4 multinational peacekeeping force. three Roma gypsies from the same family were killed in an explosion in the village of Malialis near Lipjan, south of Pristina. Later, sometime after 10:30 p.m. in another village, a 12-year-old boy was shot dead by unidentified attacker or attackers.
And from San Francisco, thousands of workers at eight San Francisco Bay Area hospitals started a two-day strike today after the latest round of contract talks failed. The 3,500 striking workers, including nurses, respiratory therapists, and clerks, went out after being unable to reach agreement on issues including staffing, wages, and job security with the Sutter Health, which operates five of the affected hospitals, and Catholic Healthcare West, which operates three.
U.S. negotiators agreed today to give South Korea more jurisdiction over American soldiers in criminal cases. The agreement came at the end of 2 days of talks in Seoul. The talks, the first since 1996, were called to revise a treaty that critics say infringes upon South Korea's sovereignty. However, the U.S. and South Korea have yet to resolve issues such as environmental regulations and labor rights for hundreds of South Korean workers hired by the U.S. military.
Oh, say can you see why you should vote for me? I've so proudly been bought by most big corporations. There's the oil company and the military and the World Bank's plan for global domination. Industrialism's red glare, right-wing billboards in the air, gave proof to the
And you are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, listening to Samsara as well, which is a singing group based in San Francisco, bringing us Star Spangled Dollar. I'm Amy Goodman here with Juan Gonzalez, broadcasting from Center City, Philadelphia, at the Independent Media Center, just a couple miles from the Republican National Convention, which enters its fourth day. And yes, last night, history was made at the Republican National Convention, and we're not talking about Dick Cheney's speech. It was what happened on the convention floor while he spoke. In what we believe to be the first time in U.S. history, a candidate for president held an impromptu press briefing on the convention floor of an opposing party. Last night, Ralph Nader went to the floor of the Republicans. We brought Ralph Nader to the convention, asking him to come to provide commentary and analysis. The networks do that kind of thing all the time, but usually with, well, what they call the opposition, perhaps Democrats. We chose to bring a person to provide analysis and commentary who has been an outsider, excluded from the political process. From the moment we arrived, cameras, photographers, journalists, as well as delegates and politicians swarmed around Ralph Nader as we began our journey to the convention floor.
Are you running for office here at Ralph Nader?
How are you doing?
Paul Greenberg is my name from Arkansas.
How are you?
You're going to campaign in Arkansas? You already have
campaigned in Arkansas. Yeah, I was in Arkansas. I've been in all 50 states.
Very good. I hear you're very strong in the West.
Mr. Nader, good luck to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Happy to hear your message.
Thank you.
Most people are going to see in primetime TV on the network coverage. What do you think? What impression are they going to walk away with from the conventions? Are they going to buy the Republican line, all the diversity and economically and racially?
I think most people look at it as political entertainment, a lot of mutual backslapping, a lot of corporate promotion, a lot of hot air politicians, and that's unfortunate because it leads to cynicism. When they see someone like Senator John McCain, who stood for political reform in the primaries, suddenly morph himself into George W. Bush, a man he thought stood directly contrary to his views on campaign finance reform, that's what leads people to be cynical, to drop out, not to vote. And we're trying to bring them back into the political process with a new green political party and our candidacy.
Theo, we're from New Jersey, and you're going to lose big time.
Hey, wait a minute.
But good luck to you, pal.
You wouldn't want that, would you?
We would love it. We would want it with a passion.
What party do you think I represent?
You represent the party of your own twisted ideas, my friend.
I read your book on the most recent book as far as tort reform is concerned and what it really means. I really appreciate that because I really think that some of the information about tort reform where the little guy the bad guy is a very, very bad thing.
I fully agree. It's about the only remedies to have your day in court. It's about as American as apple pie.
I just wanted to mention that to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Are you a delegate?
I am.
From where?
Syracuse, New York.
And what is your name?
John DeFrancisco. I'm a state senator there.
Uh-huh. What do you think of Ralph Nader?
I think he's adding some perspective vault to this convention. I think he should read some of his books. I'm still a diehard Republican. I'm for Bush, but there's some thoughts that should be out there.
What do you like about Bush's policies?
Pardon me?
Why do you support Bush?
Because I think Bush is going to win, and I think that he's the person that can bring some integrity into the national picture. I just think the little guy is the one at the disadvantage as far as bringing a lawsuit. The corporate and the large companies do have the advantage of large dollars to fund lawsuits to defeat legitimate claims.
Rob Nader, what about George Bush's approach to tort reform?
Well, he is contrary to this delegate, state senator from New York. He wants to make it more difficult and erect more barriers for wrongfully injured Americans to have their full day in court against the companies whose dangerous or defective products harm them. And I think that's one of the few differences between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Mr. Nader, let's go to one of the hospitality suites. This is the Eagle Majority Fund Presidential Trust Hospitality Suite hosted by U.S. Airways. Maybe we can go in.
Well, I'm a customer of U.S. Airways.
This is a private party. Press
I'm
is not allowed.
I'm a frequent flyer of U.S. Airways.
I am not an employee of U.S. Airways. I'm sorry. This is a private party. No comment. No comment. I'm sorry.
What do you think of the hospitality suites?
Is this U.S. Airways?
Yes, right here.
This is the Eagles and Majority Fund Hospitality Suite.
But it's U.S. Airways.
It's hosted by U.S. Airways.
What is the Eagles?
That's not a good way to treat their frequent flyer customer. Yeah. Would you feed that back to them?
Years ago, the Congress passed a law that allows that the money that is poured into these conventions does not have to be revealed for a number of months afterwards when people don't care anymore.
Well, that's another collusive practice by Congress, refuting the people's right to know in a timely fashion. It's bad enough these conventions are funded with $13.5 million each of taxpayer money. And the reason why the Congress provided that in one of its better moments is that it wanted political conventions to be civic activities, not to be activities reliant on oil, insurance, banking, drug, tobacco, and other money. And what the two parties have done, both Republican and Democrat, they're taking $13.5 million of taxpayer money for their convention and turning around and literally selling these conventions in almost every square foot to corporate contributors and corporate logos and corporate promotions. That, I think, is a betrayal of the spirit, if not the letter, of the law that was passed over 25 years ago.
The largest contributors to the Republican Party, Philip Morris, other major contributors, Enron. Can you talk about these companies? Microsoft.
Well, they want something in return. They want non-enforcement of laws, lax enforcement of the antitrust laws, no law and order for polluters. I mean, that's what they're buying. Big business wants three things from Washington. They want government contracts, they want lax enforcement of the laws, the regulatory laws, and they want huge gobs of corporate subsidies, handouts, giveaways, and bailouts. And they're willing to pay for that. They pay $100 down and they get thousands of dollars in return.
Our RNC chair Jim Nicholson and asked him about this money from the corporations, and he said businesses have a right to advertise.
Well, they don't have a right to corrupt, and this is about as close as a combination of politicians shaking down business interests and business interests paying off politicians. And in private, they both grumble about it, but they both say that's the way the system works, and they're not going to unilaterally disarm. That's not good enough for the American people. They've got to clean up politics, show self-restraint, and go forward as if people mattered, because the people are sovereign over the corporations. Remember that. That was our history. The corporations are not sovereign over the people.
Free speech, Mr. Nader.
Corporations.
Free speech for corporations.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not aware.
Are they not entitled to that?
I'm not aware that the Constitution provided all these rights for corporations.
We're coming closer to the podium of the Republican National Convention. We'll see if we get in here.
I see a lot of purple.
What do you hope to accomplish by being here?
Well, I want to observe the thing in action. It's, It's hard to believe when you see it reported. You have to see it to believe it. I mean, this is the most spectacular display of political cash register politics with corporate fat cats in the history of the country. And it's always good to see the state of the art shamelessly paraded on national TV.
What's the message to the delegates here?
My message is to go home and rethink what they're doing to the country when they sell politics to corporate fat cats in return for political favors. And that's what I say to the Democrats as well. Our democracy is being hijacked by large commercial interests against the interests of everyday people. And we've got to have political reform in this country. I'm very sorry to see John McCain, who had millions of supporters standing for political reform, morph himself into George W. Bush today.
Sir, in some states you're drawing at 7 or 8%. Do you think, would you be the spoiler if this race is close?
You can't spoil a political system that's spoiled to the core. We need a new political reform movement in this country. It's not going to come from the Democratic or Republican parties.
What about the political debates, Ralph Nader? Are you going to be included in them? What are you going to do about that?
Public opinion is burgeoning in favor of a four-way debate with me, Buchanan, Bush, and Gore. I think that's what the American people want. They want more choice. They want exciting debates. They don't want to fall asleep in front of the TV set watching the drab debate the dreary.
Here. What role are you playing? What are you doing?
Well, Wall Street is closed tonight.
Mr. Nader, this is a delegate from Florida?
Yes, I am. Well, I am for Bush, but I have to tell you that my brother, who lives in New York City, is going to vote for you.
You have a very smart brother.
Oh, well,
thank you.
He has a smart sister, too. But that's off the question. But it's wonderful seeing you. Wait till I tell him. Yeah, that I saw you, because he only gave me 3 days to tell about this convention.
Oh, a lot of people here agree with some of my positions, like ending corporate subsidies, opposing the commercialization of childhood and exploiting commercially children, little children. And I think they want, they'd like to see a government that's accountable.
The reaction here clearly designed to drown you out.
Well, I think they're having a good time. You know, they get a little bored after a while, and when they see someone come in from, shall we say, outside, they're having a good time.
How did you get on the floor?
I was invited by members of the press.
You're more than welcome to stay in the building. They just don't want you on the floor without a floor credential, okay?
Are you with the RNC?
Okay, what's your name?
I'm just giving you my message.
Are you sure that you're authorized
yes,
to do
I
that?
Yes, I am.
But how can I refer to you if I'm challenged?
Because you have my word on it.
But I have to say somebody. He prefers anonymity.
It's a free country, but this is a Republican convention. He's invading it.
Okay.
He's not a Republican. He's not a part of the convention. I'm sure he's not officially credentialed.
So, Ralph Nader, you were just on the convention floor of the Republican National Convention. Cheney is going to be speaking. George Bush is being nominated tonight. What are your comments on George W. Bush of Texas?
I think he's a conglomerate corporation running for president disguised as a person. I don't think there's ever been a candidate since McKinley who represents big business so faithfully and tries to manipulate images in order to appear like he's for the people.
Ralph Nader, tonight you have gone onto the convention floor. Dick Cheney is now speaking, the vice presidential nominee and CEO of Halliburton, the largest oil service company in the world, also former minister, also former Secretary of Defense. What about that combination of military and corporation?
Well, I think he's going to represent big business. He comes from big business. He just displayed some of the fork-tongued rhetoric of the Republicans by saying, quote, no more shirking our duties to the elderly, end quote. Does that mean he's going to have tough government Medicare negotiations to bring down drug prices? Is he going to protect Social Security, or is he going to turn the billions of Social Security over to Wall Street firms or big supporters of the Republican Party to invest in and destabilize Social Security? Is he going to protect elderly people from all these consumer scams?
So you see, it's just rhetoric. You know, they're telling people what people want to hear, but they're not giving people what people want them to deliver. And that's a forked-tongue politics based on cash register symbiosis with big business interests. And that's why people are so cynical. That's why over half the people don't even bother voting, because it's pox on both your houses.
What about investing Social Security in the stock market?
No. Social Security should remain Social Security. It should not be destabilized. It should not be social insecurity. It should not have huge commission and brokerage costs. If the government wants to set up an independent retirement security fund, they can do it outside the Social Security. There has to be one thing that's certain, safe, and inflation indexed when people retire, and that's Social Security, as it has been since the 1930s.
Are you concerned that the top two people on the Republican ticket are both oil men? We're talking about George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Well, that doesn't seem to spell good news for millions of motorists who want reasonable prices at the gas pump, because the oil companies make more profit when prices go up, and they've got their two men heading for the White House unless some voters get together to stop them and support a new progressive political movement.
Ralph Nader, Green Party presidential candidate, well-known consumer activist, making an historic appearance on the convention floor of the Republican National Convention as George Bush was being nominated to be the Republican presidential candidate, and Dick Cheney made his speech as the vice presidential nominee. And you are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! When we come back, we go to the heart of mushroom country in this country, and it's here in Pennsylvania. And then young people join us, Republicans, Democrats, and others, to talk about youth politics today. You're listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! Broadcasting live from Philadelphia. We'll be back in a minute.
My country isn't free. We build our military from sea to sea, spread like a virus blight with all our taxes' might, from cops and guards who shoot on sight to the weapons industry. Our bombs are smart and fast. Our tanks are built to last longer than schools. Behind the prison fence languish the dissidents who speak of peace and common sense. Rights over rules.
You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, the exception to the rulers, as we broadcast in an unprecedented community media event for this week and for the Los Angeles Democratic Convention, broadcasting on community radio stations around the country and community television through public access TV stations and on the Dish Network, Free Speech Channel 94.15. I'm Amy Goodman here with Juan Gonzalez. One of the issues discussed repeatedly at the Republican National Convention, we are on its fourth day, is the issue of the economy. Prosperity is being talked about over and over again.
Yes, Amy, and the mushroom industry of the United States is among those that are prospering. It earns more than $800 million per year. The state of Pennsylvania is the mushroom capital of the United States, for many people who don't know that. The people who harvest these mushrooms once were in the 60s and 70s largely Puerto Rican. Today they are almost entirely Mexican, and they work in taxing and dangerous conditions. Mushrooms are a chemical-intensive crop, and so there has not been any research done into the effects of daily exposure to these chemicals. Mushrooms are grown in dark, damp enclosures, and harvesting is always done in the wee hours of the night so as to have the mushrooms fresh to the packers by dawn. The major mushroom companies say this is necessary to maximize the shelf life of the product.
Well, recently, mushroom workers in Pennsylvania joined together to form a union. And since their unionization, the workers have faced harassment. In some cases, union leaders have been fired. Well, this past Sunday, as part of the series of protests that have taken place accompanying the Republican National Convention, which, by the way, is taking place in South Philadelphia at the First Union Center, which is not unionized, a healthcare rally took place on Sunday here in Philadelphia, calling for drastic changes in Republican healthcare policy. And today we thought we'd bring you some of the mushroom workers who spoke at that rally. We're joined in the studio at the Independent Media Center by Eduardo Ortega, a delegate of the United Agricultural and Mushroom Workers Union, Maria de los Angeles Garcia, representative of the Women's Committee of LASIC, which is the mushroom company that she works for. And we're joined by Muna El Shaks, an organizer with CATA, the Farm Workers Support Committee, as well as a translator for the mushroom workers, Jessica Cully, and we welcome you all to Democracy Now! Let us begin with the organizer of the mushroom workers. Talk about this unionizing effort.
CATA is a migrant farm worker organization, and our goal is to provide farm workers with education and training so that they can lead their own fight for better working and living conditions in their communities. We've been working with mushroom workers in the state because we're hoping that by impacting the mushroom industry, we can impact the industry nationwide, since half of the mushrooms are grown in Pennsylvania, and it's an $800 million a year industry. Just earlier in this year, two of the mushroom worker unions, the Kale and Workers Union and the Workers Committee of LASIC, joined together to create the United Mushroom and Agricultural Workers Union so that they could strengthen their efforts to fight for better conditions in their workplaces.
Eduardo Ortega, you are one of those who organized these plants. Can you tell us what are the conditions in the factories?
Eduardo, sos uno que organizan en las compañías. ¿Cómo son las condiciones?
Las condiciones que tenemos en nuestras compañías.
The conditions that we have in our company.
Tenemos muy mal. Estamos luchando por lograr buen seguro médico para nuestras familias.
We're fighting to get good medical insurance for our families.
Para evitar tanto abuso que tenemos los trabajadores inmigrantes.
And to avoid the abuses that are common for migrant farm workers.
Porque lamentablemente los patrones al ver.
Because unfortunately the employers.
Al ver que los trabajadores agrícolas muchos tienen miedo, temor.
At seeing that many farm workers have a lot of fear.
Para defender sus derechos, ellos se aprovechan de ciertas ocasiones, situación.
Have a lot of fear of defending their rights, they take advantage of us.
Por eso es una de las luchas que nosotros queremos que se acabe esa discriminación que hay hacia la minoría de los trabajadores agrícolas.
For this, we want to end the discrimination that there is towards farm workers.
Porque somos los trabajadores que estamos trabajando, haciendo trabajos que otras personas no quieren hacer por trabajos duros.
Because we're the ones who are doing work that other people don't want to do because they're hard physical labor.
Maria de los Angeles Garcia, could you tell us a little bit about what the conditions are like when you start working, what you actually do in the fields? Si nos puede decir un poco de cuáles son las condiciones bajo que trabajan, a qué hora empiezan y qué es lo que hacen cuando se van a las fincas.
Nosotros empezamos a las 6 de la mañana y se termina
hasta que. We start at 6 in the morning.
Y se termina, pues no tiene horario.
And we finish whenever we don't have a schedule.
And what exactly, how do you pick mushrooms?
¿Cómo pisca hongo?
El hongo se pisca con un cuchillo.
You pick mushrooms with a knife.
Se sube uno a una escalera.
One steps up on us in a ladder.
Según la comodidad pueda piscar la persona.
And you either need to sit down or bend over to cut the mushrooms.
And are you paid by the hour? Are you paid by the crate or in piecework?
Son pagados por hora o por contrato, por pieza.
Ayer nosotros nos pagan el a seis.
They pay us at
6.23 centavos la hora.
6.23 the hour.
Más aparte, viene un bono incluido que depende de la habilidad de cada persona.
But for workers to earn more than that, it depends on their ability to pick a lot of mushrooms.
Y estamos pasando por una situación que no se nos da la información de cuánto gana cada persona extra.
And what's happening is they don't give us information on how much people actually earn.
Hemos pedido información, no nos la quieren dar porque estamos seguros de que nos están no nos están pagando lo justo por el
trabajo
que hacemos.
We've asked for information, but they don't want to give it to us because we're sure that they're not paying us what we're actually earning.
Por eso es que nosotros estamos luchando para tener nuestra unión, para tener los derechos.
For this, we're fighting for our union to have our rights.
Para que nos puedan escuchar y nos den los beneficios que necesitamos en nuestra compañía, la comunidad hispana.
So that they'll listen to us and we can get the benefits that we need.
Eduardo, we are used to hearing about Mexican farm workers in California and Texas, but not many people are aware of the Mexican farm workers on the East Coast of the United States. How did so many Mexicans begin arriving in the mushroom fields? ¿Cómo fue que tantos mexicanos empezaron a llegar a las fincas aquí en Pennsylvania comparado después que los puertorriqueños estaban ahí años atrás?
Bueno, todos los trabajadores mexicanos o latinos que venimos a este país
all con, Mexican workers or
con una ilusión de mejorar las condiciones económicas para nuestra familia, venimos a trabajar en el hongo porque queremos mejorar las condiciones para todos los trabajadores agrícolas.
Because we want to improve the conditions that we live in as farm workers.
We're talking to mushroom workers. I certainly didn't know that Pennsylvania is the heart of mushroom country in this country and didn't know about the situation here. But can you explain how it ties into the Republican National Convention, why you were part of this series of protests that took place? I understand also that the workers, you work at night?
¿Por qué vinieron a las protestas de la Convención Republicana? ¿Y también trabajas de noche?
No, trabajamos en el día, empezamos a las 6 de la mañana.
We work during the day, we start at 6 in the morning.
No tenemos horario para salir hasta que se acaba el
hongo. We don't have a schedule, we get out whenever we finish picking the mushrooms for the day.
Soy una de las personas que voy en contra de que el abuso que hay hacia la minoría, por eso estoy tratando de luchar para...
I'm one of the people who is against the discrimination that there is against minorities.
Porque tenemos mucha discriminación en los trabajos por en parte de las enfermeras, principalmente en el trabajo donde nosotros trabajamos.
And there's a lot of discrimination in our work, especially by the nurse
y los managers que hay allí, lamentablemente nos trajeron uno desde México que se llama Saúl Adalcón.
Unfortunately, we even have a Mexican
tengo
manager.
Tengo entendido en México, él desorganizó un sindicato, una unión que estaba...
He decertified a union or broke a union in Mexico.
Con esa intención lo trajo la compañía para que aquí
and that's why the company brought him.
Nos desorganizara porque él en México, pues... Si es preciso, a lo mejor los mandan hasta golpear, pero aquí tenemos ciertas protecciones legales que él no contaba que aquí no podía hacer eso.
And Muna El Shaks, you are...
just a quick chat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Juan, you can understand.
Yeah,
it,
I understand what
he said. No, he just said that
the rest of us ignoramuses can't.
In Mexico, this particular manager or supervisor had lots of liberty to hit people and even things, and he was surprised by the few protections that workers do have here.
Muna El Shaks, as the organizer with GATA, what are you trying to accomplish here at the Republican Convention, and why do you think it's important to have a presence here?
Mostly what we're trying to do is really build public awareness about what's going on, because I think most people aren't aware of the situation. We're also trying to build solidarity with other groups that are fighting for economic justice, and that's really the reason that we came out this week and that we participated in three of the marches. I think that most Americans aren't aware that farm workers are excluded from most of the labor and employment protections that most other workers enjoy in this country. For example, most farm workers do not have the legal right to organize. Mushroom workers in Pennsylvania at this point do have the right to organize, but the Vlasic company is fighting a court case to take away that right from all Pennsylvania mushroom workers. And there's many, many other exclusions that farm workers just don't have the same protections that most workers have, even though they're the people that are putting food on our tables.
Maria de los Angeles Garcia, you are the representative of the Women's Committee of LASIC, which is the mushroom company you work for. What is the particular situation for women?
Maria, ¿cómo son las condiciones para las mujeres?
Lo que nosotros necesitamos es más privacidad en los baños.
Well, one thing we need is more privacy in the bathrooms.
Necesitamos, les pedimos unos lockers y
we ask for some lockers to put personal things, and they haven't done it.
Y entonces, también para las mujeres embarazadas,
also for pregnant women, there's a lot of abuse.
Porque el picar el hongo tiene que andar subiendo y bajando.
Because to pick mushrooms, you have to be walking up and down step ladders. And they don't let the women leave until they have 7 or 8 months pregnant. And this is dangerous.
Y si les dan el papel, un papel del de que se vayan para afuera, solo les pagan $80.
And if they do, when they do give them the permission to leave, they only give them $80 a week.
Y una persona con $80 en estos tiempos no.
And a person with $80 is a week is nothing.
Y es por eso que nosotros estamos organizándonos.
It's for this that we are organizing, that they'll hear us better as women.
And have you been able to build the solidarity with other agricultural workers in other sections in Pennsylvania? Because as I understand, the mushroom industry is basically in the southeastern part of the state, in Kent Square and Westchester and those areas. Have you been able to build ties with agricultural workers in other parts of the state?
Mm-hmm. Right now, CATA works with farm workers in New Jersey and Puerto Rico and Pennsylvania, and has been building solidarity with farm workers throughout all of those regions. And the union that was formed recently by the mushroom worker unions, UTA, its goal is to reach out to other farm workers across this region to build solidarity with them and to help them to organize. But right now in Pennsylvania, the best organized group of farm workers is the mushroom workers.
Well, we really want to thank you very much for being with us. I didn't know what was behind the Vlasic label. I know it from pickles. Is that right? Isn't there Vlasic pickles?
They recently sold the company in the past year to Money's Mushrooms. They sold all of their fresh mushroom operations to Money's Mushrooms, but they're still using the label Vlasic. So it was the same company. But.
And what overall has been the response of the company? Have you been dealing directly with the CEO?
Do you want to answer that?
¿Qué ha sido la respuesta de la compañía hacia los esfuerzos de la Unión, Eduardo?
La compañía ha tomado represalias por lo que nosotros hemos tratado de luchar, incluso despidiendo a los líderes.
The company has discriminated against us as union supporters, firing union leaders.
Yo a mí principalmente, personal, a mí me despidieron de la compañía.
Personally, they fired me.
Yo luché por mi trabajo para atrás para defender.
But I fought to get my job back.
Los derechos míos y de mis compañeros, no solamente en la misma compañía.
For my rights and the rights of the people that work with me, not just in my company,
para que luchen por sus derechos,
to be an example to other workers that they'll fight for their rights.
Regresé para atrás en la compañía y estoy
and I've returned to work
en la misma compañía,
and I'm working in the same company.
Como en light duty porque estoy lesionado
and I'm working light duty because I'm injured.
Well, I want to thank you all again for joining us. If people want to get in touch with your organization, with CATA, the Farm Worker Support Committee, where can they call?
They can call us at 800-989-2282, and they can ask for me, Mona Elshaks.
You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, and when we return from our break, we're going to talk to some young people. People who have come into Philadelphia from around the country for a youth convention. And we'll also be joined with the head of the College Republicans of Illinois. After that, I understand a man who's just gotten out of jail will be joining us to talk about what's transpired there over the last few days. We're broadcasting live from the Independent Media Center in downtown Philadelphia, just a couple miles from the First Union Convention Center, not unionized. In fact, I talked to the workers there over the last few days as they sweep up and they vacuum with the vacuum cleaners as backpacks on their back. They make around $5.50 or $6 an hour. Stay with us here on Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, the exception to the rulers, as we broadcast live from Philadelphia, the fourth day of the Republican National Convention taking place today. George W. Bush will be speaking tonight and accepting the nomination of his party to be the presidential candidate as he runs for that office in November. We are doing a multi-tiered coverage. We are dealing with protesters in the streets and bringing you their voices. We are on the convention floor bringing you the voices of Republicans and others, as we heard from Green Party presidential candidate Ralph Nader, who made it to the floor. And we're also at the shadow convention bringing you the voices of people who have put on a counter convention. But that's not the only convention that is outside of the one at the First Union Center. There's also a youth convention that has just officially ended, addressing issues like poverty, juvenile justice, health care. And we're joined by several people who've been involved with that. We're joined by Gutam Jose, who is with us from Youth in Action. In 1998, was elected youth governor of New Jersey. Jennifer Wilkie, organizer of the National Nonpartisan Youth Convention, now a UC Berkeley student. That's University of California. And Rick Veenstra is with us, chair of the Illinois College Republicans. Let's begin with Gutam Jose, 18 years old. What are you focusing on in this youth convention?
Well, what we wanted to do at this youth convention was give young people a highly visible forum where they can talk about the issues that they felt strongly about and then come up with the solutions to those issues. We didn't want it to just turn into a gripe session, say, we think there's some problems with education, and then just be done with it. We wanted to outline concretely what steps we thought we would take to address education or the environment or juvenile justice or whatever issues. I think we came up with 10 issues in the end that comprise a national youth platform. And we addressed the situation today, the young people's vision for the future, and the solutions that we saw to take steps to remedy the situation at hand.
About how many people attended, and how did people come, or how were they recruited to the convention?
We had an attendance of between 200 and 300. I'm not sure offhand of the exact number. Most of the people are from the region, although we had people fly in from across the country as well. And generally, they were contacted through the different community organizations that they work with here in the city or around the region. So we'd contact the organization and they'd say, okay, we can send you 10 young people. And that's mostly how the process took place. But a lot of people also applied through the internet and filled out registration forms online.
Jennifer Wilkie, you came all the way from Berkeley to the convention. What's been your reaction and that of the other people at the youth convention to what is going on both in the streets in Philadelphia and on the convention floor down at the First Union Center?
Well, young people have for a long time been left out of forums of discussion and have been left out of the decision-making bodies that directly affect them. So Our feeling is that we support the people who are peacefully protesting in the streets. We also support the right to convene at the Republican National Convention. However, our convention is a different forum where we are just offering the solutions and the issues to candidates. The only candidate who came out was presidential candidate Ralph Nader, and he listened to our platform and responded to each of the issues. We have invited George W. Bush since December of 1999, and he finally decided not to come to our convention and sent us an apology and organized his own National Youth Convention using our name.
Rick Veenstra, not that you have to defend the Republican leader, but you're chair of the Illinois College Republicans. What are your concerns?
Well, my concerns, I mean, actually it sounds like I'm attending a slightly different program at University of Penn than our other participants. I'm part of the RNC Youth Program. And between that and the PAGE program, there's probably about 700 young people who are loyal party activists and who are first getting their feet wet into politics.
The PAGEs are there at the Republican convention.
The PAGEs are there, as are the youth delegates. And there's probably about 400 people in our youth convention. And it's basically been a real positive experience for, I think, everyone who's been involved. They've had the chance to meet with party leaders. They've all had a chance to be on the floor of the convention, which is really an incredible experience. I was down there last night when Vice President, hopefully soon to be Vice President Cheney, was nominated. And the energy level in that hall was just incredible. I think people are starting to focus on, you know, what's the future? What's the future for Social Security? How is the economy going to be in the next couple of years? What will be the strength of the, how well will America be able to defend itself in the future? Issues like that are really important to, I think, young people. And I think...
Did George Bush come to your convention?
We came to him. The governor arrived at a... arrived yesterday morning. We met him at the steps of the art museum, but he had not attended our convention because usually the presidential nominee arrives into town, you know, a little bit farther into the convention. So both parties do that. It's kind of a tradition.
You talk about military readiness and security. Gautam Joyce, what is your response to that?
Well, it's not so much of a response, but at the youth convention, our youth platform is based on the information, the ideas, and opinions of the delegates that attend, but also with the National Youth Platform survey that we had on our website, to which we received thousands of responses from young people of all ages, all across the country, and also through some data that was collected at Oregon State University through a poll. And we put all that together and put it into the National Youth Platform. And when we look at that data, interestingly enough, issues like that George W. Bush, in his letter telling us that he wouldn't be able to attend, he said he was talking about the issues that young people care about, or his perception of them, things like Social Security, tax cuts, military readiness, and none of those came up as issues that the young people at our convention across the country or that Oregon State surveyed were their top issues. So,
what were their top issues?
Young people here and across the country identified things like the environment, things like education, gun violence, violence in general, drug and alcohol abuse.
Poverty, justice.
So we saw a broad range of issues come up here. And what we want to do is not just address the issues that the parties are addressing, but come up with our own issues and our own solutions and present to them, not have them preach at us.
Rick Veenstra, your response to those issues?
Well, I don't necessarily know that we're being preached to. I think at least the students who I've been involved with, and I served as student body president at my home college for the last 2 years, so I did get a lot of input from a lot of different people. And, you know, people are concerned, certainly, about the environment. That's always been a major concern, especially of young people. I think young people are always uniquely interested in that, and education. And I think part of what Governor Bush has done is really made education a centerpiece in it. If you start looking at the state and local levels, a lot of both parties are speaking very well to education. Obviously, they've got different perspectives on how best to meet those goals. But I think education is something that both national candidates are touching on. Obviously, biased to one side and that. But I think clearly that they're trying to make strides to education.
What do you think of the protests in the streets, Rick?
I think it's a very important constitutional right. It's something that our founders put in there in the First Amendment. It is part of our American heritage. I think, though, that when you want to when you're in communication, you want to speak to, you want to consider the audience that you're trying to reach. And I'm not sure that the protesting, at least in the methods that I've seen in the streets, is the correct or probably the most appropriate format to reach, you know, convention delegates for either convention. And I think there are more effective ways of lobbying. I think there's more effective ways of communicating the message than the protesting.
Well, when you say more effective ways of lobbying, we've had quite a bit of focus on the enormous amount of money being spent by corporations at this convention to basically get the ear of a lot of the Republican Party leaders. Do you have any concern about some of the charges, like Ralph Nader saying that both parties are being bought and paid for by these enormous amounts of money the corporations are spending?
I really disagree with that. I don't think either party is really being bought and paid for by whether it be corporations or the so-called special interests. I think as equally important as the right to protest, there's the freedom of speech. And part of, you know, supporting your candidate or supporting the people who you like and think represent your views can be in contributing to them. I think in most cases with this convention, I don't think it's necessarily buying their ear, but it's providing a little bit of advertisements for themselves. I mean, all of the sponsors are recognized, whether it be in the program books. If you're a delegate there, you see the sign, you know, you see the large corporate signs up there, you're going to remember that. You say, they support the party, I'm going to support them. I think it's just more advertisement than lobbying.
Jennifer Wilkie, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that money really does rule politics these days, and we need to return to the issues. Campaign finance reform is absolutely necessary. And I was actually speaking with one of the pages last night, and he said that as he stood on his yacht and looked up to the fireworks, he said, thank goodness for soft money. And so I really think that young people have to return to the issues, and we need to demand that money does not rule politics. And that's what we at the National Youth Convention are doing. We're moving it to LA. We've invited Vice President Gore to come and hear our issues, and we hope that he chooses that forum as opposed to a yacht full of young people.
Gautam Jawas, in terms of the message of the Republican Party that we've heard throughout the week, that the party is changing in its attempt to bring in other groups that had formerly basically shunned, what is your sense of whether that message is real, whether it's basically for public consumption now that an election is getting near, or whether there is some significant change occurring in the Republican Party?
Sure. Well, I think to address that issue, I'm going to sort of go on a little tangent and talk about when Mayor Street attended our youth convention. He was at the closing. He, you know, talked for a little while, and a couple people started...
That's John Street, the mayor,
yeah,
here.
Yeah, Mayor of Philadelphia. A couple of people started shouting things, you know, criticizing his decision to build stadiums at 12th and Vine. And instead of getting angry, he responded to them. He allowed the girl to get up on stage and ask him a question. A couple other people did as well. And then he had to leave because of time. And he said, I'd love to do this in the future. And it's sort of parallel to the Republicans or any party saying, we'd like to open up to young people. And it sounds great, and we'll never know until it actually happens. You know, we'll never know if Mayor Street really meant what he said until he commits to another meeting with young people. We won't know if the Republicans or the Democrats are reaching out to young people until we see them engaged, not just in photo opportunities, not just standing behind the politician as he gives a speech, but actually partnering with these lawmakers, partnering with these candidates, and having real input into the decision-making process.
As we wrap up, I'd like you each to leave us with one question you have for another person on this panel. Jennifer Wilkie, would you like to ask Rick Veenstra a question, chair of the Illinois College Republicans?
Rick, what would you identify as the top issues of young people today, and how would you suggest that we can start an intergenerational dialogue with our candidates and our leaders to address these issues?
I think that's a very good question. I think there's a lot more than just one single issue that people are going to be focusing on, and there's a lot of common ground that we can bring. I think Social Security is probably a real good one. You know, people look at me, and, you know, I'm a young person, and say Social Security, they kind of glaze over. I'm 22 right now. I don't have to look at collecting Social Security until I'm 65. But unless we start doing
it'll
something...
It'll be about 75 by the time you get to ready to retire.
If I'm lucky, and I'll live to 120. But, you know, that's something because we're every high school student, every college student, every person in this country who's working contributes to Social Security. And that's money that's being taken of our paychecks to support our retirement later on down the road. And we want to make sure that the money that's being taken from us returns to us later on, you know, if we need that for our retirement.
Gautam Joyce, and only allowed to respond 30 seconds to the answer to the question. What question would you have?
For
either person that you're sitting with right now.
Well, I'd like to ask Rick, how you'd like to, I see the process of young people being brought on board in both parties to listen to the leaders, but I'd ask you how you see, if you see a disconnect between that and actually working with the leaders, and not just speaking, but also working with them.
How do you mean seconds. Working with the leaders?
Can't ask another question.
I can't. Okay.
Oh, this is your question, okay? This is your question back.
Okay, we'll do a little colloquy here. I think if you're talking with the leaders and not for the leaders, I think the officials that I've worked with and I know in other states are always very, very receptive to the students. They listen to the concerns. They need a lot of them need the students. They will participate. They will engage in dialogues. And then when it comes to the point of actually doing legislation, they use our input and they put that to good use.
On that note, I want to thank you all for being with us. Our guests have been Rick Veenstra, chair of the Illinois College Republicans, Gautam Joyce, who is 18, Youth Action USA, Jennifer Wilkie, organizer of the National Nonpartisan Youth Convention, and we'll have their contact information on our website at www.democracynow.org, newly unveiled for the convention coverage. Breaking with Convention is what we're called this week. And as we wrap up the show, George Bergensen Ripley from Alliance for Democracy has just joined us. You have just a few seconds to tell us what happened to you this week. I understand you just got out of jail.
Yeah, we were significantly infiltrated so that within a very short time after our group took off from a secret spot, we were tailed by four cop cars and picked up immediately before we got to action, and then went into jail. And the thing I want to express about this is that This was my first time in jail, and the experience was absolutely wonderful. The solidarity experienced by the participating by the people locked up is heartwarming and a lot of fun. And it's even a family experience. There are there's a family in there with a young son from Texas that are in lockup and very strong. We're making great. We rule that jail, and the solidarity on the outside is very strong as well.
In fact, there is a camp that's now on the outside, very concerned about the people who remain inside. I want to thank you for joining us as we wrap up this discussion. Democracy Now! Broadcasts live from the Independent Media Center in Philadelphia. The program is produced by Jeremy Scahill with help from Deepa Fernandez and Tia Lesson and John Hamilton. Our technical director is Grayson Challenger with assistance from Sanazma Zafari and Karen Palmer, David Thompson, Lisa Shule, Nell Geiser. Video production by Dee Dee Halleck, Skip Blumberg, Linda Iannacone, and thank you to Prothap Chatterjee, our web manager. Thanks to Paper Tiger Television, Deep Dish TV, and the Independent Media Center in Philadelphia. From there, we are Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, broadcasting live on the internet at democracynow.org, on public access cable, and on the Dish Network, Free Speech Channel 9415. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.